You're listening to a Dom and Jeremy podcast. Your boys in the morning on Mix 100.
So it was nice to get a little break. Jeremy and I really hadn't had any time off since Christmas, so it was good for us to just get a few days and get away, recharge the batteries.
Yeah. I was just telling Dom, I'm tired, though.
Tired?
Like, I am not used to getting up. I think I woke up about 3:15 this morning just because it was like I hadn't been up, you know, in a while at this time of day, and I'd been going to bed at midnight, and yeah, I'm seepy. I'm a little thrown off.
I had all the jet lag issues and because, you know, I live East Coast now, and then I went to see my son in Hawaii. That's a six-hour time difference.
Yeah.
It's a long-ass air travel,
that
I'll tell you that, to go East Coast to Hawaii. And I know all the people say, ooh, boo-hoo-hoo. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying.
No, but he was off the air. Dom was telling me, the layovers, and then once he finally got back to Georgia, and then the time from that airport to home, and I was like, good God.
It was a hell of a day of travel, because essentially I left at Friday afternoon Hawaii time at 1:30, okay, in the afternoon, and I got to my house Saturday morning at 8:30.
Yeah, it is quite the trek.
That's a lot of travel.
That's a lot of travel. So,
and you learn about jet lag. You know, if I've experienced it before, but man, it was like, wow, that's weird. Because I can't sleep on planes. I will never ever be able to sleep on an airplane. And I'm not a nervous flyer. I love flying. I love it. I just can't sleep on a plane.
Huh.
But anyway, have I got a story for you? Tell me if you are ready. Are you sitting
down
for this story?
What happened? Dom texted me last night and said, I got a story for 7 o'clock.
Story.
All right.
So I need to point out that my son, I went to see my son. He lives on Oahu, and they live on the North Shore. And they live about 100 yards from the ocean, okay, right on this gorgeous soft sand beach. It's like something out of a postcard. And the thing is, practically no one is on this beach ever. And I've always said I'm not a beach guy. I'm not really a big beach guy. But what was revealed to me on this trip is that I'm not a crowded beach guy. Like, I have always disliked, you know, crowded beaches with all this noise and people blaring their music and kids running around screaming and stuff like that. And I thought that meant that I didn't like beaches. But no, it turns out I just don't like crowded beaches.
You just like secluded, quiet beaches.
You get me on a secluded beach with the sound of the surf crashing against the shore and a good book to read. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. I was out there every day.
As you should be. Absolutely.
I found this great book to read. I had a great murder mystery book that I was reading. It was fantastic. Anyway, so on Thursday, so here, let me set the scene for you. It's Thursday, probably mid-afternoon, and I am there on the beach, and my son is hanging out with me on the beach. He's reading a book, too. And Gretchen, my wife, had just come back from this walk. She had taken a walk in the neighborhood. My son, the road that he lives on is a little one-lane thing. So much so that when cars coming from the other direction, one has to kind of pull off the road.
Tight squeeze.
For the other to get by. Yeah, it's tight squeeze. And she had gone on a walk to do what she does, which is look for weird plants, weird insects, and stuff like that. And she comes back and says that while she was on the walk, she found some pretty cool stuff, but that included a cell phone. She had found someone's cell phone off the road about 5 or 6 feet, but just a couple of feet away from the trees where the trees started. So somehow someone had lost their phone, and it had been raining for the last, you know, a couple of hours or whatever. So the phone is obviously dead. And I was like, what are you going to do? She goes, well, I'm going to go plug it in and charge it and see if I can get it to come to life somehow so I can try to figure out who it belongs to. All right. So half an hour later, my son goes back up to the house. He wants to get something to drink. And the next thing I know, he's back down at the beach. He's kneeling down next to me there in the sand. And he goes, are you ready for this? I said, what? He goes, well, apparently that phone that Gretchen found, well, it turns out it belonged to a guy who got murdered a few days ago.
All right.
I am not making up anything in this story.
Yeah.
She found
the cell phone
of a guy who had just been murdered. So,
and now her fingerprints are on the self. I just happened to find this. You're like, I'm not touching that.
So what had happened is when the phone had charged long enough, she couldn't get into the phone. But, you know, how on the home screen, messages popped up.
Yeah, yeah.
So it worked. So she saw there were like some three text messages. So she took her phone. She's just all innocent. She just found a phone. She's trying to help someone. Mm-hmm. So she texted all three and she goes, look, I have found this phone. You might know, you know, I don't know the number to it or whatever, but I found a phone, blah, blah, blah. If you might know who it belongs to, let me know so I can get them their phone. And two of the three ignored her, but one of them texted back and basically said, who are you and where are you? And she just wrote back and said, I'm in Hawaii. And this other person wrote back and said, hey, I am too. They went back and forth a few times. This person kept saying, I need that phone back. I need that phone back. And finally, what they told her was, we think this phone that you have belongs to a good friend of mine who was murdered a few days ago. I need to get the phone. Well, as soon as she saw this text message, Gretchen's like, I'm not monkeying around with this.
Yeah, no more.
She called the police. She called 911.
Yeah.
And they said, we're going to send this out. So we started with that information and the detail, which I'm not going to share here on the radio. But the person who texted her gave her a detail about this murder. So we started Googling it. And sure enough, boom, 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 all these stories pop up about how this guy had been killed. And it took 4 hours before they were able to arrest the suspect who they think did it. In those 4 hours, either this suspect or an accomplice had to drive nearly an hour to where my son lives to ditch this phone. And we kept talking about this, saying, if you're going to ditch a phone, do you just drop it beside a road?
I was going to say, you're next to an ocean.
An ocean! You can throw it.
Get
in
a little
the
boat.
Ocean! But they didn't. They like just threw it out
the
window.
An
hour away from where
man.
This guy had been killed.
Whoa. How trippy.
I've always talked about how criminals are total idiots. And I mean, these people were. But the story doesn't end there because listen to this. So a cop shows up about 45 minutes later and he never got out of his vehicle. He sat there with his window rolled down, talking to Gretchen, who stood outside of his vehicle. Mm-hmm. And he never got a, he asked her to fill out a form. And then he called the person that she had been texting and was saying something to them about how they could come down to the police station and pick up the phone. And I'm thinking in my head, isn't this a murder investigation? Or do you really just want to give this phone?
Yeah, don't you need it?
Isn't this evidence?
Don't you want to see where it was dropped?
That's the best part. Get a load of this. So Gretchen asked the cop. She goes, well, I found it about, you know, a quarter of a mile down this road. Would you like to come see where I found it? And he was like, nah, just describe for me where you found it.
Nah, we good.
She's like, what?
Really? There might be more evidence there.
So she, on her own, walked back down the road so she could find an address next to where she had found it.
Yeah.
And the whole time, this cop just sat in his vehicle, twiddling around with
things
stuff.
Are a little more laid back in Hawaii, I guess.
Apparently it's island time, dude.
He's like,
and at one point, I'm standing next to his car. He says to me, he goes like, I hope your wife hurries up because I've got a report to get to for a hazardous vehicle. And I'm like, we've got
a hazardous vehicle over a murder.
We've got the phone of a murder victim that apparently had been tossed out the window. And this guy didn't want to see where it landed. He didn't want to go down there and get any information. He wanted to hurry and go check on a hazardous vehicle.
Get out of there. He didn't care. Mahalo.
So when Gretchen got back, she finished filling out a report, and the cop said, look, if you think of anything else, you know, give us a call. And Gretchen said, okay, so what number should I call? He goes, well, just call 911. Well, we'd already told him like three times that we lived East Coast and we were about to get on a plane, and she had to tell him, look, if I call 911, it's going to go to my 911.
Yeah, it's not
area.
Coming to you.
She's like, so I'm like 4,000 miles from you, dude. So what number should I call? He didn't know the number of his own police station.
He didn't have a business card or anything.
He had to get on dispatch.
It wasn't on the side of the vehicle?
No, he had to call dispatch to find out what number she should call. So anyway, to wrap this long story up, the cop now has the phone of a murdered guy, and someone with a hazardous vehicle has probably got a ticket.
Right.
And I feel like they carried the same weight with the Hawaiian police.
That's hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
So, Jeremy, that's what happened on my vacation. What about you?
I painted my living room.